Welcome to From Shadows to Light, a human approach to mental health, hosted by Olivia Catchman. This podcast series is centered around a book by the same name. 11 courageous individuals challenge the stigma around mental health and share their wisdom of a multidisciplinary, whole human approach to mental wellness that considers the body, mind, emotions, and spirit of the individual. And now, here's your host, Olivia Catchman, founder of the Phoenix Alchemy and Transformational Guide.
Hello and welcome to the podcast From Shadows to Light. My name is Olivia Catchman, and I'm a compiler of a book called From Shadows to Light, A Whole Human Approach to Mental Health. This is a passionate topic of mine and so many others, as I've discovered, who have wisdom through their own lived experience of mental health that they would love to share with you in their journeys, all of which are very different. The 11 co-authors will be sharing from their hearts what has worked for them, what the journey was like, and providing some mental health tips that hopefully you can take away and perhaps incorporate in your own journey, doing your own due diligence and trusting in your own body's wisdom to really find your way back into wellness with your mental health. Today, I am here with Carrie Ann Barron. And Reverend Carrie Ann Barron was a part of the creation of this book. She was a very beautiful mentor and friend of mine throughout the process. And she's here with me today to actually interview me about the intention and some of the background to do with this book. So welcome, Carrie Ann. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Olivia. It's so good to be here with you. I'm super excited to interview you. Just so you know, this is quite an honor for me. You've pulled together some amazing individuals in this book. And I want to find out a little bit more about the reason for you starting this book, why you brought together the individuals that you did. And maybe if we have time, touch a little bit on your own story that you shared in the book. That sound good?
That sounds great.
Excellent. The title of the book is From Shadows to Lights, A Whole Human Approach to Mental Health. What does that mean to you, and why did you choose that title for this book?
I really chose that the title for the book and sort of the intention of the book to look at a whole human approach. And what that means to me is that from my experience, the approach within the medical system and really was focused on physical and later a little bit towards mental and emotional. But really the main focus was that mental health was caused by a physical chemical disturbance within the body system. And from my background, I knew that that wasn't entirely true. And although I feel like the approach is really good, there seemed to be a lot missing. There was a lot of topics and different techniques and different wisdom that was never being integrated into how to better address mental health. And I don't know about anyone else out there, but when you're having a mental health crisis, it's nearly impossible at times to access information that will help you in the moment. It's like the brain flips a switch, and all of a sudden you become very unresourceful. And I wanted to create a resource that looked at some of the other dimensions that are often ignored and give people a better sense of what's out there and what's possible in order to help address their own mental health in a really empowered way, not just relying on Western medicine. And at no end of this book have I said that it's wrong, that Western medicine doesn't work. It's just that there needs to be an approach that addresses all aspects of the human condition and in our psyche. And that just wasn't being addressed. And it felt really like there was a missing piece that no one was talking about.
So what are those other dimensions or aspects of the human condition that you're referring to?
Some of the different aspects. Obviously we have our physical body. We have an emotional body. We have a mental body. So how we think and what thoughts we're bringing in. And then we really have a spiritual body. And those are kind of four layers and levels of what makes us human. What I was finding is that in therapy, mental health is an entire collapse of, in some cases, all four of these aspects. And if you don't look at all four, if you're not looking at each and every dimension of that specific person and their specific situation, you're not really helping them get through to the root cause of their mental health entirely. Depression or trauma is really multifaceted, for instance, and each individual is completely unique. And I just wanted to bring awareness to that aspect in this book.
One of the things that I noticed in the introduction you wrote about when you spoke about the co-authors, they're all making a difference in their own way. So you quote, they are all, quote, being the change they wish to see, unquote, in the realm of the whole human approach to mental health. What do you think is the number one contributor to this collapse or not being able to uncover the root cause? And what is it, what has made these individuals able to appreciate that whole human approach to mental health? Do you understand what I'm trying to ask?
I think so.
Okay.
I really feel like a universal theme is everyone sort of starts off by completely investing in Western medicine and really trying the approach that's set out in front of them in a really obvious way. And through that journey, realizing that there was so much more. Perhaps somebody wasn't making progress or it was very frustrating. And they began seeking other ways to address things. And I really think that was a commonality throughout all the co-authors. And each one found their way through very different modalities. And often as a result of that, they just felt like the way they pay it forward and the way they make a difference is to actually help people by sharing the wisdom that helped them.
Is that why you call them initiates? Like, what is it about that term initiates that resonates so well for you in this situation?
Initiates get it. Initiates are the ones that they have the lived experience. And a major frustration for myself and many others is that if somebody in a medical profession has never been depressed, has never experienced emotional dysregulation, has never experienced suicidal ideation to the point of making a plan and actually wanting to follow through on it. If the person has never experienced incredible trauma, how can they possibly truly empathetically help another person? And I think that that's what was really missing in my personal experience. And what was so refreshing in parts of my recovery was actually meeting someone who heard a little bit about me and then they told me a piece of their story. And instantly I felt like, wow, if they can do it, if they can get through and they're going to be part of my team to help me, then it's possible that I'm going to get through this too. Mm. And that really changed the whole recovery game for me, is to meet those people that were initiates. And yeah, I don't think things really changed for me until that was the case.
Wow. So the title of the book is From Shadows to Light. And in the book, you mentioned that each co-author is dancing between the shadows and the lights. Can you talk a little bit more about that for people who are just hearing this term for the first time?
Absolutely. I guess when I began this book, I could see that there's this state of being, of wellness, of positivity, of resiliency and courage that really is on that place of the light side, let's say. Not to say that the shadows are wrong or bad, but you're living in a more easeful and abundant and purposeful way. But when all of that health disintegrates and you find yourself really under this dark cloud and your thoughts are consumed and it feels like your whole body, mind, spirit is hijacked by an experience that you wouldn't wish upon anyone. That's really what I'm talking about as the shadows. I think the metaphor can be used in so many ways because, I mean, really light can be awareness and that shadow can be things that aren't in your awareness or haven't been reconciled in your psyche. So for instance, for people who have been traumatized, which often is a root cause of addiction and some mental health issues, if there's still things that they haven't embraced, addressed, forgiven, you know, those things are just still brooding under the surface in the shadows, then bringing it to the light of your awareness and actually taking those steps forward to address it head on is a very brave and courageous process. But it does require taking things from that place you don't want to go and bringing them to the light of your awareness. Mm-hmm. I think it's a dance because
in some ways,
in our human experience, I believe not just in mental health, but we kind of go through those different phases of being well and happy and then also quite distraught and despairing and everything in between. But the difference is really great when we're talking about mental health. Mm. They feel like absolutely polar opposites. And especially when you're in that state of like being completely consumed by shadows, it feels like it's almost impossible to get back to that place of wellness and of light.
Mm-hmm. And in the book, you use the term wounded healer. You said a wounded healer archetype is part of their growth and healing. And when you were using that word, you were referring to the co-authors, the initiates who have had this experience. Why did you choose that, the wounded healer archetype, to go along with explaining the co-authors?
Well, the wounded healer really is this idea that you have been wounded and those wounds have become a source of great wisdom. And even though like there's sort of a turning point where you might be rather victorious over those wounds, you've addressed them and maybe not all the way through, but to a threshold where you can actually help guide people. I wouldn't say that any one of the people in this book have it all together, are living this life where those little moments of shadow coming up or great moments of shadow coming up of mental health collapse, perhaps they're not as big as they first were, but they're a little bit more manageable. So the wounded healer to me is this idea that although you might not be in a perfect state, you're able to help people. And by helping others, you're also helping yourself. You're reminding yourself of all the things that help you be well. And so it's part of being an initiate, I guess.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way to put it.
Okay. So Olivia, you just explained the shadows into light and wounded healer archetypes and how the co-authors and initiates and how all of this really works together. So I understand what the book, the theme of the book, and it's really what you're trying to do with this. From my belief, from my understanding, is you're really challenging the stigma around mental health and understanding that it might be bigger than just treating the symptoms. So in your chapter, you talk about, again, the mental health crisis is that full systemic crisis of our physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual bodies. What would you like to tell our listeners about that as it relates to your own story about you being your own initiate or you being an initiate? We won't go into it too deep because you talk about it a lot in the book, but I want to focus in on the takeaways, what you really learned through your own journey, so that people understand that you're not just talking the talk, you've actually walked the walk as well. What would you like to share with our listeners about that today?
Well, I know that what I share in the book is only just a short snippet of my experience of being hospitalized. But if I'm kind of to rewind that back, how did I end up in that situation? I don't really talk about it so much in the book. I would say I was at a part of my life where I was really wanting to find purpose. And that was really important. I wanted meaningful work. And at the time, I was studying all these different healing techniques that were really effective. But in my life, I finally had found some purpose, and what felt good was doing some work within social work. I was not a trained social worker, but I had the skills to do the job that I was set out to do. And in that, part of my responsibility was helping youth who were very troubled to navigate systems for support. And so ironically, when I collapsed with my mental health, I found that nearly impossible to do on my own. You really need a guide to help you through that. So that's sort of one aspect. I think also through that particular job, I never really understood how dangerous compassion fatigue would be. People talked about it, but they didn't talk about the signs and symptoms. Up to that point, I can't say other than like butterflies in my stomach when I did performances as a dancer or doing improv. I had never experienced anxiety in my life. So when I actually was experiencing like the mental health crisis level of anxiety, I had no idea what was going on in my body. Like, it was such a scary experience. And that was part of, I was burning the candle at both ends. I wasn't taking care of myself. I was committed to working way too hard. And on the side, I was doing all the things I was more passionate about, which was all the healing work. And in my job, I was only offering band-aids. Whereas in my training with shamanism, I was trained to help people get to the root cause of their wounds and actually be able to heal that. And once that is healed, it sort of makes this ripple, even if it happened way in your childhood, it makes this really positive ripple where all of a sudden in your reality, that same wound doesn't affect you in the same way. Mm-hmm. So I felt really powerless in my job at the time. I think also that what was really going on for me is I began to, I mean, I was embarked on this spiritual path for a while, for quite a few years. And there was definitely some turmoil in me that was coming to a peak. So some people call it dark nights of the soul. I would say I was definitely heading in that direction at the time before I absolutely collapsed into it. Physically, and this is kind of like a physical aspect, was I was medicated for what actually turned out to be a misdiagnosis. So I was taking medications for 30 years that no one told me had mood stabilizers in them. So when I challenged the diagnosis, when I came medically supervised off of these medications, that also aligned at that time in my life. But my body didn't physically know how to produce serotonin and dopamine anymore.
Right.
So all these things kind of collided at the same time. And emotionally, I was just a wreck. So by the time I actually dipped into suicidal depression, it feels like it happened so quickly. I did not see the signs. I did not know what was going on with me. And it was terrifying.
And what saved you? What was it that was able to bring you back? You mentioned something about shamanism or shamanic healing. Was that your saving grace in bringing you back out of the shadows and into the light?
It really, and I guess that's part of the book. And the reason I was compelled to gather these co-authors was there's so many different approaches. I don't think it was just one approach. I do feel, however, that in my whole heart, I know that the shamanic approach works. I studied many years with an Algonquin Mitiwin, a medicine man, and the healing ways of his people just they go razor sharp right to the very, very root. Like if your issue was a tree, let's say, and it has roots, it has a trunk, it has branches, and it has all these leaves on it, Western medicine addresses the leaves and maybe some of the branches. But shamanism goes all the way down the trunk, all the way to the very root of it. And that is what changed my life. So I knew that worked. I was not able to perform so much ceremony on myself until I got to a certain level of wellness, but certainly surrendering to other people's care was important. I was part of a process called shadow work that really turned a corner for me. It was like being able to watch my mind play out in front of me, outside of me, and to find the power within me to address those voices that were shaming me, that said I was worthless, that told me I should die, that didn't want me to live a full and happy life. And so I got to battle them. I got to find something in me that was so lost. And I think I called it the warrior self. I thought that warrior in me had died. And somehow in that process, it ignited again and it fought for my life. And I didn't know that I had that ability at the time. So that really helped me as well as addressing nutrition. So one of the authors in the book, not only do I just deeply respect her, she was one of the initiates who helped me. And that's Dr. Christina Bjørndal. And that was through not just a nutritional approach as a natural path helping me, but also she addresses the whole human. And it taught me so much. I don't think there's any quick fix, though. it still is a journey, and
yeah,
it's really hard.
What are some of the other modalities? So you just mentioned one of the other co-authors, Dr. Christina. Who else is in this book? And I just want to say your story is so powerful, and the individuals who pick up this book and read it in print form or through the ebook version are going to be moved by what you share in your story. So I really want to acknowledge you for your honesty and your vulnerability and really coming forth and sharing your story and your experience with this. So thank you for doing that, Olivia. I want to acknowledge you for that. So thank you.
Thanks for acknowledging that. It's been a tough journey, as you know, because I'm quite new to the experience of my own mental health collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm throughout the process of compiling this book. I was well when I initiated it, and I have been very, very challenged with my own mental health the entire process of this book. And I would say I'm still struggling. So it just battling with my own self-stigma has been really, really difficult for me.
And that's where one of the main themes throughout this book is peer support. And that's really where you just mentioned one of your co-authors also provided you some peer support and support in helping you overcome some of the challenges that you were facing. What would you say before we sort of briefly review the different modalities that the other co-authors bring into this book? What would you say is the number one reason peer support is so powerful when you're moving through this mental health journey?
Oh my goodness, I don't really even know where to start.
I know, right? So there's not one. Okay, top five. Let's go with there.
I absolutely did not know other people who necessarily talked about their mental health openly. So I felt completely isolated and alone. I suffered very much on my own for quite a long time. And it wasn't until I was invited to do different programs, different people suggested, different forms of peer support that helped. So for instance, I was part of what's called the Wellness Recovery Action Plan program. It's changed so many lives. There's an app that works really well. At the time, my signs and symptoms and, you know, what caused my collapse, I didn't really see them clearly until well after I had recovered. So in taking the program, it's almost like creating this plan that if this happens again, everything's written. Here are the people and their numbers. Here are my supports. Here's all the things that make me feel well. Here's all the places I can go if I feel I am ready to even enter into the public, that I would feel safe just to dip my toe back into the world. It walks you through a process of like, who do you need to thank when you're recovered for holding you up or supporting you? It just was such a thorough process. And I really found that in the people who were in the group, it was some of the first people I had ever met that were open about their struggles. They had struggled way longer than I had. And even just receiving some of their phone numbers, whether I called them or not, was a genuine invitation of, please call, I get it. I think since then, I had tried an emotional freedom technique. So it's a tapping technique. It was designed around anxiety and depression. And one person would just share what their super where their depression is really blocking them or where the anxiety is really blocking them. And we would all go through that together, knowing that we all have an aspect of what they said that we had to work through personally. By working through it together, it felt so good. I think another instance was the shadow work. Also, the dance that I lead and have been studying for a number of years now is called Kundalini dance. And again, it's having that group support that's non-judgmental, that just helps us all witness each other in our humanness and makes it feel validated and okay. And I think that's where peer support is so precious. Right now, I feel like some of the people that are my best safety net was I met them through a post-hospitalization program that was 6 weeks long. It was very skill-based. But we created really incredible relationships. And these are people that I still meet up with. We have a little Facebook group that we support each other in, and those are the people I call. We've really been through a lot together, and they feel like a safe shoulder to lean on. And I don't know what I'd do without those types of groups and people in my life, because most friends and family, they're doing their very best, but they don't really understand. So that's where peer support was a lifesaver.
I love hearing that. And just for peer support is a huge part of my life and yours as well. And it's just so wonderful to know that there are individuals out there who have had lived experiences, maybe not exactly like yours, but they can empathize with the feelings and the emotions. I like to say the stigma or the losses associated with those diagnoses that were handed from the traditional system. Peer support is extremely powerful in that way. So Olivia, as we're wrapping up our first episode of From Shadows to Light podcast version, would you like to just touch base on who the authors are and what they'll be addressing in the book or what they're going to be speaking about? Just a very brief outline. Can you tell me a little bit about Dr. Christina Bernal and Katrina Breaux? What are they representing in this book?
So Dr. Christina Bernal, she is an incredible woman who shares her story of how she navigated her diagnosis and many diagnoses, but really through a nutrition perspective. I mean, also it was through a lot of self-care and a lot of spiritual approaches as well, but it was actually that calling through the nutritional approach that inspired her to become a naturopath, specializing in mental health. Katrina Breaux, she really has a very different story, one that involves trauma, a physical diagnosis, and just multiple different aspects of herself, which led to her investigating what it takes to have a very healthy brain. And so again, she's addressing it from a nutritional approach that helped her and talks about that in the book. She talks really from the sense of what you put in your shopping cart really affects not just your full body, but also your mental health.
So Olivia, can you briefly, as we're bringing this show to a close, can you briefly outline the contributors to their book and what perspective they're bringing into the mental health recovery field?
Each one of the co-authors really brought a different flavor. So the nutritional approach was really something outlined by Dr. Christina Bjorndal. She's a naturopath specializing in mental health through all her own lived experience with mental health. She's an incredible human and and has done incredible work in that field that's really shifting things for a lot of people. And Katrina Breaux, in a similar way, she really has spent a lifetime through so many different studies as a nurse, as a nutrition consultant, and so many different things to really understand how people can achieve optimal brain health. And so she really helps people investigate what they put in their shopping cart and helps them to realize how it affects their body and their mind. Ruth Ann Weeks, she really looks at systemic change within psychological safety within the workplace. So she's an amazing consultant who really looks at all the different dimensions within corporations, not-for-profits, and their organizational structures to create healthy work environments where employees feel safe, honored, and feel like they're contributing and really able to address things while being respected in the workplace. Lisa and Mike Adams, they are a military family. And really, it's they're talking about the journey as a family being, if one person is a member of the military, or perhaps it's police, emergency services of any sort, and they have PTSD, it really means that the entire family has PTSD. So they kind of address their experiences there. Virio Karvonen really looks at the power of a very emotional and spiritual approach to regaining her own self-esteem and her life. She's a very ecstatic woman. She's found her aliveness through a variety of practices and really goes through them. Everything from the power of nature to heal, the power of sexuality to heal when it's fully embraced, and just the power of a modality called belief repatterning. Cindy Clam Conway, she's able to articulate her experience of a terrible trauma and how she was able to get back on track, and how actually through that trauma, she developed spiritual gifts that not only helped her get through the experience, but also now helps others get through their experiences. Marilyn Brighteyes, she really, I feel, is such an important voice within this book. She is somebody who speaks to the effects of intergenerational trauma, especially those affected by colonialism and specifically residential schools upon Aboriginal populations, and really what that looks like and the effects on the family that has been really evident in her life and the lives of so many others. And she talks about her own recovery and just making it another day. Kimmy Krochuk, she's been really passionate about realizing through her own traumas that, in particular, the men that perhaps wounded her were very emotionally suppressed. And so she's helping men access their emotions and process emotions in this kind of brutal men don't cry culture or boys don't cry culture. So she's talking about that, how emotional freedom really helps us to be well. Cinnamon Cranston, she's an excellent example of how through her experiences, she discovered that the body holds trauma and it's not just the mind. And so how can we address the stuck energy and the stuck stories that actually go into our cells on a somatic level, and how we really need to take care of our bodies in the healing process in a really gentle way. And then, of course, there's my own story and my own experience of not just that body-based energy healing, but also a really emotional, spiritual approach to trauma recovery and through to just addressing our wounds through shamanism and through very intentional dance practices. So I kind of draw upon these ancient wisdoms that have been on this earth for thousands of years and just kind of calling for us to return to them. So that's just an overview of who's involved and the flavor of the stories involved. And I just really feel that together, all the stories will impact lives. And I just know that that's true. And so do all the other authors.
Thank you so much for sharing all of that with us, Olivia, today. It's just such a powerful book. And I encourage everyone who's listening to go to Amazon and place your order for this book. You will not regret it. There's so much amazing information in there. Olivia, what is the number one takeaway or the number one thing that you want individuals to walk away from this episode with? What do you want them to know more than anything?
I just want to express that everyone involved in this particular book believes wholeheartedly that it's important for people to know that they're not alone. And that there is a way to better health. And to just simply not give up, to reach out, to actually share more, talk more, find the people and find the different ways to support you back to wellness. So I really feel like that's such an important message that we all really want people to understand and to take away into their own lives. And I think that's not just for people who have experienced mental health firsthand, but my heart also wanted this to be in the hands of people who perhaps are people that help people, others through trauma, whether they're psychologists or psychiatrists, whether they're counselors or nurses or doctors, those who are involved in traditional approaches to mental health, I think they also have a responsibility to be able to be aware that there are other approaches and be able to help people navigate that there are other ways as well. And for us all to work together, both in Western medicine and beyond, to help people reclaim their wellness.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Olivia, for taking time to talk with me. This episode is amazing and it just sets the stage for the next nine episodes that we have coming up. So thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Please stay tuned. There will be another episode released soon. And Olivia, what do you want to tell them to do? Where should they go to join, to stay in the conversation?
To stay with the conversation, we would all love you to join our Facebook group. It's under @ShadowsToLightBook on Facebook. If the book touches your heart, we'd love to have your review on Amazon or also on the Facebook page. And it's definitely a book that if you know this is going to help different people, buy more than one copy and actually hand it to people that you feel it will help. Because that's really what we all know is just the power of shared story in helping transform lives. So that's really, I think, part of our go-to message is just to be able to share and feel brave in sharing your story and reaching out for your own version of peer support. And of course, all the co-authors are there for you, and we've shared our information so that you can get in touch.
Olivia Catchman is here to help serve those who are ready to rise up and feel the freedom of living their fullest potential, a life beyond their wounds. Olivia creates a safe, sacred place and intuitively guides people to let go of their limitations and suffering so they can reclaim their power and rebirth themselves anew. Her offerings include individual and group healing ceremonies, transformational energy work, spiritual dance, and embodiment practices. If you would like to know more, please visit www.phoenixalchemy.net. That's www.phoenixalchemy.net.